Because as you look at, we'll look at over the next few weeks, we'll look at some of these individuals and some of these people. But it's neat how each, it seems that each one of them, the faith was expressed and manifest in a unique way and in a different way. And so there's something that we can be encouraged by and learn by from each of these people that's in the Faith Hall of Fame here. Our story today is Cain and Abel, the first kids. Hebrews 11:4 is the verse that we're looking at, and the story, their story is in Genesis chapter 4. And unfortunately, they didn't grow up to be the outstanding citizens that any parent might have hoped for. See, Cain ended up murdering Abel. And this story is the first of a few of these stories in the Old Testament that give us these examples of faith. Faith, of course, being confidence in the things that we can't see. And so this first story, today's story, teaches us about faith as giving our sacrifices significance. As giving our sacrifices significance. This is one thing that faith does. If you make a big sacrifice, maybe an offering to God or some hard work, maybe give up something that you love, that sacrifice is unlikely to be very meaningful on its own. It won't have much of an impact on the world. Likewise, perhaps more important, that sacrifice won't be particularly pleasing to God. Not much of an impact, not very pleasing, unless it's done by faith. Then bam, all of a sudden, the sacrifice, it means something. God uses it. It's pleasing to him. So this is the story of Cain and Abel. They both brought sacrifices to God. One God looked on with favor, and the other he didn't. So our text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Before we carry on, what do we mean by faith? Faith is our belief in the things that we can't see, specifically faith in God. Do we trust God even though we can't see him? Are we willing to step into difficult situations that our eyes might tell us, no way, that's not a good thing, that's not going to work out? Are we willing to step into those difficult situations based on our faith in God, based on the things that we can't see? In today's story, faith gives power to actions. Can we trust God to accept our sacrifices even if we never see any meaningful outcome? So here's the story. Adam and Eve, right, the first people. Cain was their first son, and then Abel. And Abel kept sheep. That was what he did. He kept sheep. He took care of sheep. And Cain, he worked the ground. He grew vegetables, maybe grain. He worked the ground. And so a day came when Cain brought an offering to the Lord. And since this was his specialty, he brought some of the fruit of the ground. Well, Abel, he also brought an offering. And Abel's was from the firstborn of his flock. So God, he liked Abel and his offering, but he didn't approve of Cain and his offering. And then the story goes on. Cain gets upset, and God says, Why are you upset? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if not, sin is hiding out, waiting for you. And it seems that Cain did continue on that path where sin was hiding out, waiting for him, and he ended up calling his brother out into the field and ended up murdering him. And so one question that comes out of this story is why didn't God like Cain's offering? Does God prefer meat over vegetables? Could that be it? Or did Cain not prepare his vegetables properly, this offering? Let's read the Genesis account and see if it sheds some light. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. So Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." And then later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel also brought an offering for fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would open your word to us today, the story of Cain and Abel. Please, teach us to have faith. Put faith in our hearts and call us to do the things that we do and call us to bring the sacrifices we bring to you, Lord. Call us to do those with faith and by faith trust that you will use those things to glorify yourself and to accomplish things that you want to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I have a theory. It's more of a conjecture, like an idea. Who knows the mind of God? But I have a theory about this kind of story and other stories in the Old Testament. It seems that there's over and over again, God, through the Bible, he'll tell us a story of something that happened in the Old Testament. And the only details that he'll give us are kind of the actions, right? What happened? What is it that happened here? And he won't tell us what's going on in the person's heart. And then, based on the actions, it looks like, hey, either these actions are good or these actions are bad. And then God either rewards or disciplines these individuals. And it doesn't seem that the actions line up with God's response. It's almost like God's playing with our mind a little bit in a good way, right? He's trying to get us to have a little bit of he wants us to see that and be like, wait a second, this doesn't quite line up here, right? And I think maybe what he's trying to do is get us to look at that and bring us to a place where maybe we do judge the actions, we do judge the actions of the people, and then that God's response is different, and it forces it to stick. It's like, oh, well, obviously God knows something that we don't know. Obviously God knows what's going on in the heart. He knows the things that we can't see, and so by faith we trust that, yeah, God's, even though the Bible, the Old Testament doesn't spell it out in so many of these stories, we know by faith that God is acting justly and that he sees something more than the actions. And so that's what seems to be happening in this story, where Cain and Abel both bring their sacrifices. There's not a lot of indications that one's better than the other. I mean, for Abel's, it does say that it was the choice cuts and that it was the firstborn. But other than that, it seems that Cain's sacrifices and Abel's sacrifices are both pretty even, pretty equal. And so, it was the case that for years, Old Testament biblical scholars before we had the New Testament would look at this and say, what is it that was worse about Cain's sacrifice and what is it that's good about Abel's sacrifice? And they'd have different theories about what it was that was there. But then in Hebrews, we're told, no, it wasn't anything about one sacrifice being better or one being worse, except for the fact that Abel's sacrifice was brought with faith. And Cain's, it seems, wasn't. And so there's that faith that the Old Testament story doesn't tell us about, and it's not until the New Testament that we're explicitly told, hey, this is what was going on, and this is why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's wasn't. You with me? In our daily lives, we usually can't see what's going on in people's hearts. And so sometimes we judge based on behavior. In the Cain and Abel story, we only see the behavior, and so we tend to judge based on that. And like I say, many did try and figure this out before the answer was given in Hebrews. What was it that was unacceptable about Cain's offering? And so the point of today's verse is this. It wasn't Abel's actions, but his faith that was pleasing to God. Here's a part from Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel was commended as righteous when God spoke well of Abel's offerings. It was Abel's faith that was commended as righteous, as shown by the offering he brought. And then this is neat. The offering that Abel brought was a result of his faith, right? His faith did lead to action. And then here we see that God spoke well of Abel's action as an approval of his faith. That's a little bit confusing, but Abel's action was a result of his faith. God's affirmation of Abel's righteousness by faith, it came in the form of God approving Abel's offering, right? So even though the offering was a result of his faith, that was what God approved. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. Maybe this would help. I had to, for our adoption process, I had to get another criminal record check recently. And when you do that, sometimes you have to get fingerprints. Sometimes you don't. In this case, I had to go to the police station to get fingerprints. I haven't got the results back yet, but I don't imagine there's anything on there. but I had to go get this criminal record check, and this is how the world works, right? The intent is that a criminal record check is going to be an indicator of whether I'm a safe person, right? Whether it's safe for us to adopt our littlest one, whether there's something that would mean that we're disqualified. But the thing is, with that criminal record check, it's just an indicator of the things that I've done, right? It can't zoom in on my heart and see what's really going on there. If suddenly my heart has changed for the worse or changed for the better, right? If I have done something and my heart has changed, or if I haven't done anything that would disqualify me, but there's something wrong with my heart, well, the criminal record check, it's not going to catch that, right? And so it's the right thing to do these criminal record checks, because there is, they do tend to show maybe what's going on in our lives, but ultimately it's just based on behavior, and it can't zoom right into the heart. And so the same thing is true here for us. Same thing's true for the story of Cain and Abel in the Old Testament, where all we got was the behavior and then God's response. God, of course, does something similar. We're righteous based on whether we have faith in Jesus and have received his righteousness. God will sometimes speak well of our behavior as a reflection of our righteousness. So what can we learn from this passage from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4? Well, I've got a few ideas. I've got three ideas here, all right? First one, faith. Faith makes things better. Faith makes things better. Sometimes faith makes things worthwhile. The sacrifices that the Cain and Abel brought, like we discussed, they weren't that much different. They both brought what they had. Cain worked the soil. Abel raised sheep. It makes sense that Cain would bring some of the harvest from the ground and Abel would bring the best of his flock. But see, from Hebrews, we learn that faith made Abel's offering better. It wasn't the offering itself that was good. It was the faith by which Abel brought the offering. And so how can we apply this in our lives? Well, how about this? You make a delicious dinner, right? Maybe some steak, maybe some potatoes and some carrots, that kind of thing. And as you're making this up, you're maybe making it for some friends or your family. And in one house, this meal, it's made without faith. It's just the job is done, the dinner is made, it's nutritious, it it does its job. But in the other house, the exact same meal is made, the same delicious steak and the same yummy potatoes and carrots are made. But this one's prepared with faith. This meal is made with faith that in addition to the things we can see, in addition to knowing that, yeah, that's gonna nourish my family, there's nutrients in there, there's energy in there. In addition to the things we can see, by faith, as we're making that meal, we give it to God and say, God, I give this to you, and I just trust that you're going to use this to accomplish mighty things, right? It almost seems petty that we would give a meal we're preparing to God, but I think God calls us to that. That everything we do, whether it's something small or big, that by faith we're trusting that yes, God's going to use us for something greater than the things we can see. And making the meal is an easy example, but in anything in our lives, right? Anything that we're doing, we know what we expect that's going to do, but then maybe we can take that to the next level and by faith trust that, yes, God, I want you to use this. I give this to you, and I want you to use this to do something awesome, to do something into eternity. I don't even know how you're going to use this, Lord, but I trust that you will use this meal for your glory. Or how about this one? Maybe just getting it done. I remember I heard a story about... And this was at a wedding. I think it was at a wedding shower. And this is a secondhand story, so I probably get the details wrong, but hopefully you'll get the point anyway. And what happened was there was the bride was there and a bunch of her girlfriends and relatives, and there was a grandma or an aunt there as well. And the grandma and the aunt was giving out a little bit of advice. And she said, you know, there's going to come a day when you're doing what you do, right? Whether you're somehow you're serving your husband or you're serving your family. Maybe you're making dinner. Maybe you're churning the butter. I think this story was from a little while ago. Maybe you're churning the butter, right? You're getting things ready. You're working for your family. And it's just the work that you're doing, it's like you love your husband, but the amount of work, it's just not worth it, right? Like, this is a lot of work. You're tired. You've been working for a long time, and you haven't had a break, and you're exhausted. And you look at the work you're doing, you look at how you just do not have enough energy to go on, and you look at your husband, and even though in the past you've had the googly eyes, this time it's like there's the risk of bitterness coming in because this is hard, and he is just not worth it sometimes, right? And I think we've all been there where, you know, we're serving somebody, and it's like, this is a lot of work, like, really? And the advice that she gave, she said, you know what, that's when you just do what you're doing, whatever it is, and you're like, Jesus, I'm just doing this for you, because the scales, they don't balance, right? They just, it just doesn't balance. And the only way that I can make this work is if I say, Jesus, I'm doing this for you, right? And I think that's, I believe that that's part of Cain and Abel's story, that maybe we don't know what was going on, where Abel was at, but there does come a time for all of us where it's like, it's too much. I just can't go on. Whether it's in your family or at your work, whether you're working on the best thing ever, whether it's something mundane, whether it's something fun or something boring or something necessary, do it by faith in it, and it will be better. What is it that you do? Maybe the effort you're putting towards the client, the patient, the harvest, the customer will never pay off, right? You can't balance those scales. There's a time when the scales just don't balance. The work that you're doing just isn't worth it. And sometimes we need to walk away, but at other times we just continue doing what we do by faith, and we trust that even though this is so hard and even though this isn't worth it from a worldly perspective, I'm going to continue doing this by faith. I'm going to do it for you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you to use my hard work. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have faith, friends. We have faith. And many people don't. And so we can use that. We trust God. We can live by faith. Friends, let's do everything by faith. With Cain and Abel, this was an offering to God, a sacrifice. Abel and his offering were pleasing to God. Cain, not so much. So if we're talking something that's explicitly an offering, right, to God, the same thing applies. If it's the plate that comes around during worship and you put a bit of cash in, right? And the question is, well, why? It's what I'm supposed to do. People are watching. God expects it. I've got a bit of spare change. Maybe even I got to keep the church running, right? And that kind of thinking, that is the kind of thinking that isn't by faith, it often does lead to sin. That kind of thinking, the kind of thinking that requires us to take care of everything, that does have to balance the scales, it does sometimes lead to sin. In Genesis, God warned Cain. He said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. And Cain, of course, instead took matters into his own hands and killed Abel. But Abel, he brought his offering by faith, and it was better. So cash in the offering plate as it comes around, or offering time or talent to God, what does that look like when it's done by faith? Why did I make that offering or sacrifice? Because by faith I expect that God will use this to accomplish mighty things. Because by faith I do trust that He will provide my needs. And because when I give in faith, I'm trusting that God will use it as He sees fit. Right? Faith makes things better. Okay, the second point for today is that faith makes our offering pleasing. Faith makes our offerings pleasing. And this is the message that resonates throughout the Bible. Did Abel's faith manifest itself in a better offering, right? Was the physical offering, the sheep, actually better because of Abel's faith? It might have been. Usually the outcome of our actions are usually affected by our motivation. Or maybe Abel's sacrifice was equivalent to Cain's. But in either case, Abel's offering was pleasing to God because it was brought in faith. If his offering was made better, that would have been a reflection of the faith with which it was brought. And so we often talk about our works, the good things we do is a reflection of our faith. We believe that Jesus died for us, and that makes us pleasing to God. And so therefore we do good things to please Him. The Cain and Abel story, it reminds us of this truth. In that both Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice to the Lord. In that regard, they both did good work. Right? They both did good work. They both brought this sacrifice. But only Abel's sacrifice was pleasing to the Lord. Friends, you can do all sorts of good things and bring all sorts of good sacrifice to God. But unless these are done in faith, unless these are done with a trust that, yes, Jesus died for me, that I'm made right by Him, then they won't be pleasing to the Lord. Are you doing all sorts of great things? Good. That won't earn God's approval. If it's God's approval you're looking for, He gives it to you in Jesus. By faith, we trust Him, and by faith, we receive His righteousness. By faith, Abel was commended as righteous. Okay, third point here. Faith gives us God's voice. Faith gives us God's voice. So, Cain ignores God's advice to change paths, and instead continues the route that he's on and kills Abel. Genesis 4, verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Injustice. Abel loses his voice. He can't speak anymore. He's dead. But God gives him a voice. And today, thousands of years later, Abel still speaks. I don't know whether this is the message Abel would have spoken, but this is the message his faith speaks. It's by faith that our sacrifices are pleasing to God. Milo, I think, is an example of this. Our recent trip out to Milo is a church. We headed out there for a few Sundays over the summer, and it was good, right? A few people from Milo joined us, some that weren't regularly gathering together with God's people. But the majority of those that attended were Christians that were attending other churches. We proclaimed Jesus in Milo. We worshiped in Milo. and we prayed for the Milo area. Now, without faith, even at this point in time, even today, there's not a whole lot that we can see that came out of that, right? It was a big effort for the people that served. If we look at the outcome we can see today and compare that with the effort involved, we might conclude, you know what? Why bother? It's not worth it. But friends, even after the fact, even today, we look at these things through our faith goggles. We went to Milo by faith, right? We weren't. Our goal wasn't just, hey, where's some good work we can do? We trusted that God, this is something you're calling us to. So we went to Milo by faith, and by faith we believe that God continues to work there, and we believe that He will use our sacrifices for His purposes. We believe that our step of faith will have a wider echo because it was done in faith. Faith gives us God's voice, means that we also measure success by faith, right? If you ask someone around the time of Abel's death whether the sheep that he sacrificed to the Lord did any good, the answer without faith would be like, no way, the guy's dead, right? What was the point of that? What did that accomplish? Nothing. But stepping out in faith, by faith, Abel brought that, and by faith, that was significant and that was meaningful. Step out in faith, friends. Don't measure success as the world does. The world wants to see the outcome this quarter, right? We want to do something good. We want to see the outcome right away. And when we don't, then it's not a success. But God sees all of eternity, and He is working through us. And so, in addition to doing things by faith, we want to see the future by faith and trust that even if we can't see the good of the works that He's called us to today, we trust that He is using them for His glory. Amen? Amen. So, God will use your sacrifices and your work to accomplish His purposes. All right, let's wrap it up. Cain and Abel, let me summarize again, because I know that some of you doze off and just wake up for that time when I say, let's finish her up here. So here's the message of Cain and Abel that both of them brought this sacrifice to God, right? And only one of them was pleasing to God, and that was because it was done with faith. And friends, we want to do the same thing. Faith is something that we as God's people do have. We trust God. We trust that He is working over all time. We trust that He is working in our lives. He's working in our church. That He's at work today, and that He's got a plan. That things aren't just random. And so, when we do whatever it is that we do, whether it's a sacrifice or whether it's just something that we do every day, let's do it by faith, giving it to God and trusting that, yes, Lord, I want to give this to you and I want you to use it to bring glory to yourself. And then by faith, trusting that yes, He will do that. He will do that. It's our faith that gives things meaning. We can't see how everything will play out. It's only when we repent and follow Jesus by faith that our lives have meaning. Because by faith, God does find us pleasing. And because He does use those works done in faith. Amen? Amen. All right, let's praise God.